Joshua chapter 24, and from verse 28 to 33. Well, notice I called this sermon The Close. I didn't call it The End. Many people might think it is the end of the book of Joshua, the end of Joshua's life, the end of Eliezer's life, the end. But I call it the close. Well, it is the end of the book of Joshua, but it's not its end, because Joshua's book still lives today, does it not? We're reading it now. We're hearing its teaching now. Joshua's life came to an end, in the sense that his earthly life came to an end. But his words still live on. Israel's history moves on. The book of Judges is coming. These men, they die, and they're buried. And it is the end of their earthly existence, but it's only the close of that. For eternity beckons. And unbeliever, I warn you. Many dismiss this, but I warn you, this life does come to its end, yes, its close, but it's not the end. It is appointed unto men once to die, yes, all men, you and me. And after this, the judgment. And that leads on to eternity. Death is only the close of this life. And then, the entrance into eternity. But death does come to all men. The great, as well as the small. The led, as well as the leaders. Here is the leaders. Joshua dies. Joseph has died years before. And they have his bones there to bury, according to the promise they made. And Eliezer dies. Verse 33, died. Death is written large in this section. And although it's not a popular subject, we have to face it. Of course, many think, well, we are living forever, and it's all going to be all right. If you're drifting into eternity like that, you're mad. You have to make sure things are right. And the only way things can be right is to be in Christ. John 14:6. He is the only way to the Father. There's no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be found in him. I plead with you. Trust him. Receive him now. And be ready for that day, that hour, that moment when death shall come. And none of us can tell when it may be. Well, that's what we have here in this passage. The leaders die. Joshua and Eliezer and Joseph's bones and so on. And then we read that they buried these dead. They buried him, verse 30. They buried Joseph's bones and they buried Eliezer. They buried him at Gibeah. Death and burial. Death and burial. Now, I don't want to needlessly offend, but I must speak my mind. I see nothing but burial for Israel, nor for the saints in the New Testament. Burial is the appointed way, the recognized way in Scripture. Is it important? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 is only burial that can adequately convey the tremendous symbol of what is the reality. What do you mean? The seed is sown in the ground in order to sprout again by dying in the ground, by rotting in the ground. Yes, it's true. But it's in that very act of rotting and dying that it brings forth fruit and life to eternity. The picture is used by Christ in John chapter 12 and verse 24. You keep the seed in the packet, nothing will happen. But you sow it in the ground, you lose it. But you gain the harvest from it. And that's what I see here, burial following death. And that's why I urge you to seriously consider this matter. Burial is the appointed way Burning is the pagan way. I notice that these people do not make a fuss about consecrated ground. They do not make a fuss about making monuments. They do not make any pilgrimage to these monuments. I know we have Acts 2, verse 29, David's tomb, but the fact of the matter is, it's not the tomb, it's not the grave, it's not the consecrated ground. It's the principle here that these men were godly. They were being sown in the ground, and the picture is clear to me. The book of Job, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. And the New Testament, the New Covenant, of course, exemplifies and expands upon all this and shows it to us most clearly. But these men have been most useful in their generation. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. These men were useful in their generation. You see, they kept their word. Verse 32. They had promised concerning Joseph's bones. And they brought those bones up from Egypt. And they had now the time to bury them at Shechem, in the place that Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor. Think of that. The Exodus. The crossing of the Red Sea. The desert of Sin, Sinai, the wilderness for 38 years, the crossing of the Jordan, the battles, and all the rest of it. And still they had carried Joseph's bones according to their promise, and they buried him now in the land where he had asked. They kept their promises. So I see no monuments, no great edifices, no pilgrimages, no sacred consecrated ground, none of that talk. But these men were useful in their generation, and they lived to the glory of God in their generation. And all their days, Israel kept the word of the Lord. They were faithful. But there's a sting in the tail in verse 31. There's a sting in the tail. All the days of these leaders and elders. And what is the sting in the tail? The book of Judges. Let me read to you Judges chapter 2 and verse 6 and on a little. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived them, and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook, and so on. All the days of Joshua, all the days of the fellow leaders, the men who had seen and witnessed and experienced what God had done through the Exodus, through the wilderness, through the Jordan, conquering the land and so on, when that generation died out, then the people went away from God. That's the sting in the tail. But Joshua lives on. If Israel had had the sense, the grace to read or learn or remember what he had said and applied to them. Moses lived on. The law lived on. But they still departed. But the lesson to me is plain. In my generation, I want to do what I can to maintain the faith of Christ, to be loyal and true to his word, to God's word. And I want to live now, so that when I am dead, and this poor stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, I still want to speak. I'm thinking of Abel. He, being dead, still speaks to this generation. The same for Joshua. The same for these men. The prophets do not live forever. We must all be ready. I say again, unbeliever, be ready. Are you ready to stand before God? There's only one way to be found in Christ. But I do address my remarks now to fellow believers. Let us live now for the glory of God. We want to die well, don't we? Yes. We want to be buried well. Yes. But we want an even better, more glorious entrance into everlasting life, don't we? That's what I want. And we want to do what we can now to maintain the cause of Christ. And I'm trying to do all I can so that after I am dead, my works may still live and speak. And maybe in a coming generation, they will have some benefit for good, some power for good, some emphasis for good. So I want a good death and a glorious entrance. I want to speak long after I'm dead for God. Then now is the time. Today. Not tomorrow. It's not done by intentions. It's done by actions. So, brother and sister, let us so live now. So live now that our dying may be easy. Our entrance into eternal life may be glorious. And we, being dead, may yet speak to generations unborn. That's the lessons I see from this close of the book of Joshua. And may God bless all these thoughts that we've had and all these discourses. May God bless them on the book of Joshua. May God bless them to us all. May we receive the lessons and act upon them. I hope I've made myself clear. If any unbeliever is listening to me, come to Jesus Christ now and be saved. Child of God, receive all the counsel and teaching of God's word, for it's profitable to us. May it build us up and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified.